All right, Carla, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, this is the Wednesday, May 9th, 2018, afternoon session of the Portland City Council. We're in session. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Please call item four. We need to have the statement read first. Good afternoon.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the Council Clerk's Office for Communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or on the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do so, to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Carla, could you please call item 457?
Council to convene as Prosper Portland Budget Committee to receive the proposed budget for fiscal year 2018-19.
Very good. I'm now convening the Prosper Portland Budget Committee for the purpose of receiving the budget message. The Budget Committee members received copies of the budget on Thursday, May 3rd. I assume the roll call we just took suffices for this meeting as well. Is that correct, or do I need to call the roll again?
I think it would suffice.
Very good. As we approach the one-year mark for Prosper Portland's new identity and its deepening commitment to building an equitable economy for Portland, it's clear that the agency has evolved its practices. Notably, Prosper Portland has engaged in an equity-centered development process for the Broadway Corridor project, led by a 41-member steering committee. They've expanded the Inclusive Business Resource Network and launched My People's Market, both focused on assisting entrepreneurs and small business owners of color. Prosper has launched the Affordable Commercial Tenanting Program in multiple locations to help small and underrepresented businesses, specifically at Alberta Commons and Lentz Commons. Prosper has formed the Council of Economic and Racial Equity to advise the agency as it works towards its equity goals. It's put forth a new enterprise zone policy that requires a public benefits agreement for every tax abatement approved by the Portland City Council. Prosper has collaborated on community-centered and community-driven efforts for the North Northeast Community Development Initiative and for the Hill Block. They've implemented internal work to advance the agency's development of an inclusive anti-racist culture. The Prosper Portland budget we're considering today reflects nearly a year of internal and external review and revisions. I want to thank the Prosper Portland staff, the stakeholders, board and city leaders in developing a budget that will allow Prosper Portland to advance its strategic mission to create economic growth and opportunity for all of Portland. I'd now like to welcome Chair Cruz and Executive Director Branham to make their presentation. Good afternoon, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. Thank you as well to the staff and community partners involved in the preparation of this budget. It is truly a collaborative effort. Prosper Portland reviewed the fiscal year 2018-19 draft budget with its approximately 20-member budget advisory committee, which met four times over the course of the budget cycle and whose members represent a diverse array of stakeholders. The Prosper Portland Board of Commissioners held work sessions in January and April to review general fund decision packages and URA spending plans that were incorporated into the requested budget. The board prioritized the Inclusive Business Resource Network and appreciates the mayor's inclusion of the network in the proposed budget. Since then, staff also reviewed specific URA requested budgets with a dozen community, business, and neighborhood organizations to receive input. As we walk through the presentation, we'll address input we received on specific items during the process. The board is also aware that as the sunset of specific urban renewal areas draws closer, the agency's 10-year fiscal sustainability plan implementation will begin in earnest. We are committed to partnering with you to implement a framework that ensures public benefits and financial returns. As you'll hear, we've directed staff to examine new ways to generate revenues and resources to sustain the agency's ability to deliver on its mission to create economic growth and opportunity for Portland. We have several critical tasks ahead of us that are part of the fiscal year 2018-19 work plan to meet the financial sustainability plan objectives, including updating, streamlining, and expanding investment products, fully implementing a comprehensive investment and asset management approach, monitoring and adjusting the agency's administration and overhead, and exploring the expanded use of urban renewal to meet community needs. I'm very proud of the agency's work and look forward to our continued contributions as we build an equitable economy that benefits all Portlanders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Cruz. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. We're really pleased to be here with you this afternoon to present our proposed budget. I'm Kimberly Branham, Executive Director of Prosper Portland, and I'm joined by a wonderful team, the people who have helped us put this budget together, Lisa Abwaf, Development Manager, Tori Campbell, our Entrepreneurship and Community Economic Development Manager, and Tony Barnes, our Finance Manager Extraordinaire. And so the majority of our budget this afternoon that we're going to dig into will focus on the urban renewal area budgets. We will have time for discussion, and we will discuss the general fund and non-TIF funds as well, but we wanted to complement the earlier work sessions that we had in which we were able to dig in a little further at that time onto our economic development priorities. Next slide, please. Is it showing up on your...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you can go all the way through. So in the nearly 3 years since we adopted a new strategic plan, we've applied our business development and technical assistance, community capacity building, and commercial and mixed-use investment work to build a more equitable economy. In the last year, as Mayor Wheeler mentioned, we've produced significant results from the types of efforts that were mentioned. We've increased access to high-quality employment, helping to support the creation of nearly 1,200 jobs and another 350 employment connections through our business development industry initiatives and e-zone tool and workforce navigation. We form collaborative partnerships to address cross-sector and cross-functional challenges in partnership with Mayor Wheeler's Council of Economic Advisors and with Work Systems and with program investments through Prosper Portland and the city. 1,200 adults and 490 youth who face barriers to employment have received workforce development services. 65% of adults have completed these multi-year programs and in the last year and have received employment. And 80% of the youth have been placed in jobs or gone on to post-secondary education. We've advanced wealth creation opportunities for people of color and people in East Portland, supporting diverse long-term business owners and property owners to stabilize or increase the competitiveness of their business interests. We've awarded 31 grants, for example, as part of our Prosperity Investment Program, which has rolled up our Storefront Improvement Program and other small-scale grants, with 74% of the $1.5 million awarded to business owners and property owners of color. We've supported access to healthy, complete neighborhoods and launched new tools, as was mentioned, with the Affordable Commercial Program pilot. We now have over 10,000 square feet of ground floor retail space in Alberta Commons, Lentz Commons, and Oliver Station. And finally, we've endeavored to be more effective stewards ourselves and to continue to evolve as an organization and to become a learning organization. Our financial programs have leveraged $2 from the private sector for each dollar we've invested. Prosper Portland staff has engaged nearly 8,000 Portlanders through our outreach in the last year, and we've built a team that's more reflective of our city. Of the 18 new people that have been hired, 64% identify as people of color. So the budget before you represents a continued commitment to delivering on the five-year strategic plan and to making progress on some of those challenges that we haven't yet been able to address. Increasing access to capital is one of those areas of challenge, and doubling down on those efforts that are showing results. Prosper Portland's total estimated resources are $359 million for the next fiscal year, with $737 million over the five-year period. This pie chart shows that over 86%, about $600 million of the five-year forecast resources are TIF-based, which means that they are available to be invested within urban renewal area districts. 45% of new TIF debt proceeds, about $150 million, flow to the Portland Housing Bureau based on the housing set-aside policy. About half of the resources next year and about a third in the five-year forecast come from existing cash balances from prior bond sales or land sales or other program income. And about one-third of urban renewal area resources will be from new tax increment finance resources, mainly in Interstate, Lentz, River District, and North McAdam urban renewal areas. While city general funds seem to make a small portion of the pie, of about 1% of the total resources, these are really important resources for us to deliver our citywide economic development programming, and together with our federal grant resources and enterprise zone fees, make up nearly all of our resources to support economic development programming citywide, and 30% of our operating budget. The next slide slices the budget in a slightly different way and shows you our anticipated budget expenditures in the coming year and over the five-year forecast. About 47% of the programmed investments, or just over $300 million, are planned for property redevelopment. So this includes major projects such as the Convention Center Hotel, garage, finishing that, the Rose Quarter Master Plan, the Post Office and the Broadway Corridor, ongoing investment that you heard about this morning for the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan, the Multnomah County Health Department building, and investing over $13 million across the urban renewal areas in small-scale prosperity investments. Investment program grants. 24%, or about $154 million, as I mentioned, will be invested by the Portland Housing Bureau. There's another $42 million that's available after the five-year forecast as districts close out. 9% is available for economic development purposes. It's about $55 million. It represents our programming as well as our business finance lending within urban renewal areas. And then there's about 4% or $27 million that's dedicated towards infrastructure, which includes Lentz Botanical Gardens and street improvement projects on North Lombard and Southeast Foster. We have about $13 million in annual administrative costs, which we have brought down from about $18 million just a few years ago. It also includes repayment of the 1999 PERS bond, as well as our internal functions, IT and finance, our communication and our engagement work. And also specifically called out, you'll see in the chart, is the repayment of the River District General Fund-backed line of credit. That's total principal and interest of $41 million, which will be paid back to the city with the phase one proceeds from a portion of the post office site. In the next slide, you'll see a deeper look at affordable housing set-aside expenditures, which I'll remind the public, while the affordable housing resources, the TIF portion of it, shows up on our books, City Council does direct, along with the Housing Bureau, those investments and the stewardship of those resources. But a deeper look at affordable housing set-aside expenditures show that the Housing Bureau is projected to invest $158 million of new TIF resources in active urban renewal areas between 2015-16 and 2018-19, with an additional $135 million in programmed resources through the life of the urban renewal areas. Based on the projected fiscal year 18-19 budget, the housing set aside is exceeding the 42% goal in Lentz and the 70% goal in Interstate, just below the goals in North McAdam and River District. And the Central East Side and Gateway are spending under the goal, but the programmed resources will catch up within the five-year forecast. So these resources are available and they're earmarked. The timing of programs, the timing of the projects is what is impacting that number. In total, there's about $540 million that's projected to be spent between 2006 and when the affordable housing policy was adopted and the life of the districts. As you know, well know, to date, this has created 4,543 units of new or preserved affordable housing, and currently there are another 1,300 units in production. As Chair Cruz mentioned, the board also ensured that the proposed budget aligns with the high-level financial sustainability framework to be implemented over the next 10 years. When fully implemented, we anticipate being able to maintain a $30 million per year operating budget and backfill for the reduction of TIF funding. The four major actions are intended to be implemented in sequential order. So at this point, we're really focused in the immediate term on pursuing and adopting an impact investment model for the remaining tax increment finance resources and existing real estate assets, which means optimizing both financial returns and public benefit with a blended rate that's consistent with our agency values and informed by market performance. Assumptions for the second, third, and fourth priorities, which effectively is about applying our core real estate and business development expertise to support our economic development and community development programs, are not explicitly forecasted in the proposed budget due to timing and lack of uncertainty. So things like new market tax credits, which we will actively seek to secure, are not shown within the proposed budget because we aren't clear as to whether we will get an allocation. So my final contextual slide shows you a summary of our capital spending budget through an impact investment lens, whereby we have assigned our TIF investments into three categories: grants and infrastructures, which have high public benefits and no repayment or return in the five-year forecast. This represents 20% of planned investments and about 27% through the 10-year plan. Program-related investments, which also produce significant level of public benefits, where we anticipate a return of capital but a modest return on capital, represents 50% of planned investments over the next 5 years and 44% through the 10-year term. And then mission-related investments, which also meet policy goals, but we hope to and anticipate a repayment and market return of an average of 6%. Over the five-year budget forecast, we've allocated $85 million, or 30% of urban renewal area budgets, towards these investments, with a focus on Broadway Corridor, the ODOT blocks, and the Oregon Convention Center. As Lisa will demonstrate, each urban renewal area has its own unique mixture of these types of investments in line with market realities and strategic priorities. So with that, I'll hand it over to Lisa to walk through each of the urban renewal areas.
Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Abwaff, Development Manager with Prosper Portland. As Kimberly mentioned, for those of you who have seen kind of our presentations in the past, I'll flag two new things that we have called out as part of our presentation and that we discussed with our Budget Advisory Committee. The first, as Kimberly referenced, is that you'll see the diagrams on the right actually map our project activities and priorities against our financial sustainability goals. So you see them kind of complemented as we go through each urban renewal area, and you'll see it at a bit finer grain than what Kimberly kind of had shown in an aggregate or portfolio level. And then the second thing that I would flag is that we have started the conversation with our community partners around the importance of our role in asset management of properties as we continue to hold and maintain certain properties, particularly as we think about commercial affordability. And so you'll see those called out at the bottom of our key activities list. So starting with Lentz Town Center, this is one of kind of the three major areas where many of our activities are guided by an action plan. So our priorities for the coming fiscal year and a few of the subsequent five-year expenditures are guided by the Lentz Action Plan. We are in year four, so kind of towards the end of that action plan. What we have seen to date as a success of that action plan is early development within the Lentz Town Center. So we recently completed Lentz Commons, and Oliver Station is being completed by a private partner. Those units are being occupied, and we are signing leases for the commercial space. Into next fiscal year, we will continue development and support to the Asian Health and Services Center, as well as to Rose CDC for the Woody Guthrie Project. We are actively partnering with the Office of Transportation on foster improvements that they have expressed will get under construction in 2018. And then our role is also to provide small businesses support along Southeast Foster as that construction is designed and gets underway. And then I would also call out, we have a program that we've been working on with longtime property owners within Lentz to realize redevelopment in their property and the wealth generation that can come off of redevelopment of their property. Some of the things that we heard from the community certainly align with the action plan, given the community's involvement in putting it together. They also expressed kind of the priorities of making sure that there were sidewalk and safety improvements along 122nd as their community grows, and that Prosper Portland continues to move forward development on other properties that we hold in Lentz Town Center, particularly at 92nd and Harold. And then I would call out that many of the projects that I just mentioned are partnerships with the Housing Bureau, particularly in Lentz. We have been strong partners with the Housing Bureau so that they're mixed income, kind of affordable together with market rate projects. The next area we wanted to present was the Gateway Regional Center. Similar to the Lentz area, there is an action plan within the Gateway Urban Renewal Area. The action plan focuses on three geographies in and around Halsey-Weidler, where we have a strong business district, at the Gateway Transit Center, and then kind of towards the south end of the urban renewal area, kind of the midway for the Gateway neighborhood. Along Halsey-Weidler, our investments have been primarily in small businesses, also as the Office of Transportation looks at improvements along the Halsey-Weidler couplet. We are also working actively with the Housing Bureau on a property at 106th and Halsey that's right next to the new park that is just completing construction. It will be an affordable housing together with market rate housing and commercial development. That's a partnership with both affordable housing and market rate developers. And then the second area that we're seeing a lot of interest amongst the community as well as the development community is at the Gateway Transit Center. There are joint property owners between the private sector and David Douglas School District who's very interested in redevelopment of a 10-acre site out there. And we have heard from the East Portland Action Plan that they would love to see kind of a long-called-for education and workforce component be located within proximity to the transit center, and we're continuing to work towards that. The final area that has an action plan that I presented earlier on to you regarding Block 25 earlier today is the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan. As we mentioned, the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan crosses two urban renewal areas, one of which is downtown waterfront, which is an area that has been in existence for quite a long time and so is at the end of its implementation period. In downtown waterfront, all of the resources that we have available are committed to Old Town Chinatown, with a focus on both small business support as well as Block 33, which is the property at Southwest 4th, 5th, and Everett Street, is within the downtown waterfront urban renewal area. So we'll continue negotiations and discussions with that property owner as they seek redevelopment of that property. The second urban renewal area that the action plan overlaps into is the River District urban renewal area. While this is an area that has seen great success from an urban renewal perspective, it also has kind of great demands upon it, both within Old Town Chinatown and the opportunity sites of Block 25, 4th and Burnside, as well as the old historic fire station that Prosper Portland owns at the Steel Bridgehead. It also is where Centennial Mills is located. So as we brought to you over the past year, we have posted that property for sale and are actively seeking working with a private partner for redevelopment of Centennial Mills. And then finally, there's a lot of activity underway in the Broadway corridor area with both a master plan, and it's also the area where we do own and operate Union Station. And so making sure that as we think about the next phase of Union Station's life, we're both thinking about its seismic integrity as well as the activity that it can bring to this community. With that, we'll shift focus to urban renewal areas that we like to think about more from a jobs and an economic development perspective. The first three were much more community development focused. In the Central East Side, we have seen great success, and so you'll see a significant amount of resources committed to both our grants and loan products within the Central East Side, and then you'll see there's a significant amount of resources committed to strategic sites and the ODOT blocks. We were successful at negotiating with ODOT for transfer of the ODOT blocks over the past year. We are happy to announce that later this afternoon, we will be bringing a recommendation to our Board of Commissioners for the selection of a local development team led by Beam Development and Colas Construction to select them for redevelopment of the three blocks at the ODOT blocks. We would anticipate it being redeveloped for job density, industrial affordability, goals within the Central East Side that came through our discussions with the community as part of the Central City 2035 process. Willamette and Airport Way are also both urban renewal areas that have a jobs focus and an industrial focus. Both are in their closeout phases. In Airport Way, the majority of our resources are tied to land assets that we hold or have transacted on in the recent past and really are tied to a strong partnership with the Port of Portland. And then in the Willamette URA, we have about $4 million that we have programmed to assist small businesses either through loans or through land development.
That's 0.4, right? Not 4.
No, it's 4. It's 4 million.
But it's not programmed because it says 0.4.
Oh, yeah.
Does that explain its difference of uses versus programmed?
Sure. No. So we have $4 million available to put out via our programs, but what we do is we have it spent out over multiple years.
And we already finished that URA, right?
Yes.
Yes, that URA is closed out, and so it's the resources we have in hand over the life of the district.
Thank you.
But we also know that kind of our spend rate is lesser than that $4 million.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then North McAdam is also a jobs-related and an institutional support for our higher ed partners, both between the Oregon Health and Science University as well as Portland State University District. We do have two development agreements that guide the majority of our investments in this urban renewal area. The first is with Zidell Yards around the master plan that they anticipate moving into implementation on. They just wrapped it up this past year. Their goal is for vertical development that would include both housing as well as commercial development. Through the master plan, we have gotten greater clarity as well on kind of the park sequence and the timing of development of Southwest Bond. And with Portland State University, we have just closed and transacted on the 4th and Montgomery project that will have a city presence on it, and then they have an interest in moving forward with the TriMet site that is up on Lincoln that TriMet had bought as part of the Orange Line transaction, where they would like to increase their educational and commercial presence in that area. And then last, before I hand it off to Tori, who will wrap it up with the remainder of our urban renewal areas, is the Oregon Convention Center. Similar to Airport Way and Willamette, this is an urban renewal area that is towards the end of the life of the district. The good news is we have a convention center hotel that has been successfully transacted on and is under construction. We have a sizable investment in the garage that is being developed to support that hotel as an important regional anchor and economic development contributor. We also have heard from the community that they would like to see ongoing investment and activity either in the Rose Quarter or along MLK and Grand. And then we also do hold and own and operate the Inn at the Convention Center, which was a property that we bought in preparation for the Convention Center development. So we do foresee that in the next 5 years we'll hold that asset awaiting the Convention Center to stabilize, and then we would put it out for redevelopment to the private sector.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mayor. My name is Tori Campbell. I'm, again, a manager of our entrepreneurship and our community economic development teams at Prosper Portland, and I'm going to walk you through the remaining urban renewal areas, and then I will also begin to transition into our general fund budget. So the last one is our interstate corridor, which, as Lisa's pointed out, it's, again, geared towards kind of community development and growth. With this one, it is a balance of a 70-30 split. 70% of the urban renewal dollars have gone to the housing efforts. And so the remaining, we have utilized that in terms of economic development. And some of the work that has gone in really stems from the outgrowth of an action plan that was developed almost 2 years ago, our North Northeast Community Development Action Plan, that really started with a look back on the first 15 years of the life of the district and took into account who had really benefited from the programs and the investments, recognizing that not all those who had initially it intended to benefit had. And so as a look forward, the action plan really guides our efforts, in particular ensuring that African-American members and as well as long-term property owners of color really have a preference in terms of really ensuring that they benefit from programs. Some of the areas that we've seen in terms of key activities to date have been Alberta Commons Commercial Affordability, where we have a master lease there of over 5,000 square feet, which we are currently working to tenant with businesses. Particularly, we have really made a concerted effort to ensure that entrepreneurs of color who are looking for new commercial tenant space have access to that. We've also worked with our small business and long-term property development assistance, which has primarily come through our Prosperity Investment Program, our PIP program for short, which provides, again, opportunities for facade improvements externally within a retail space, as well as TI improvements and feasibility studies. Again, all of this is with the golden thrust of creating wealth by way of either improving on one's current property or reducing some of the startup costs in starting a business within this urban renewal area. And then also we have our community livability grants, which again are intended to support nonprofits in the community who serve longstanding community members and continue to work tirelessly to support underserved Portlanders throughout the city. But really their base of operation is in the Northeast area. And last but not least, our cultural business hub, which again is the effort around the action plan of finding ways to create catalytic investment in terms of place building, and in particular, ensuring that there are activities that are fostering opportunities for a synergy with African-American business owners and entrepreneurs of color in the area. We, as has already been mentioned, in other urban renewal areas, we also have assets to manage. The first one is the Alberta Commons, which again is a master lease that we hold for the next 10 years, as well as our Nelson properties in the Kenton area. Again, the focus overall within our programs has been around wealth creation with an emphasis on long-term property owners, as well as supporting small business growth and development. And then the last area is our Neighborhood Prosperity Network. The funding is a little bit different here. It's tax increment versus revenue sharing and general fund e-zone. Within our various neighborhood prosperity districts, we find the key activities, again, have still remained true as we are roughly about halfway through the funding support of these programs, which was to be over a 10-year span. And what we're seeing is actually tremendous growth and maturity of many of the NPIs, as you would hope, many of them now stepping into newer, more sophisticated work around property development. But overall, the primary investment has been with the intent of starting with capacity building and training, of which as they have grown, they've been able to navigate and move into more meatier and gnarlier projects to continue to support their respective communities and partners within. We've also seen funding go towards district improvement, as well as the promotion of grants to allow them to have more the freedom to have self-determination on what seems right and appropriate in terms of facilitating and creating economic opportunities within their respective neighborhoods. Next, I want to transition, if you will, and talk a little bit about our proposed budget. The first slide here just shows two different conversations. The first one on the left really highlights all of our funding sources for our proposed expenditures for 18-19, which is roughly $9.7 million. That would be our general fund, our federal dollars, as well as our E-Zone. And then the image to the right shows what will be our general fund proposed by the mayor, which is just our general fund dollars, of which I will walk through now both our ads and our cut packages and what that looked like for us. So overall, we broke up our work into four distinct areas of focus. The first one is on small business support, which we have entitled that program the Inclusive Business Resource Network, or IBRN, just another acronym for you to remember. And within that, there are four different areas of focus. And again, as I go along, there's several things I'll note. One is I will call out where there is one-time funding. And I'll also highlight that many of our programs that we are presenting in this budget are also about not just continuing the work, but really expanding the work of supporting, again, underserved entrepreneurs, in particular entrepreneurs of color in our city and women. And so within our small business support, a couple of those examples are our small business growth programs, which are currently being funded, being led and under Accelerate, as well as our Increase project. And those are ongoing. And again, that's the goal of expanding this support to help businesses that are stable and healthy but are wanting to scale and grow, both building their know-how, and helping them understand how to break into new markets and continue to grow and expand their business. And the funding of this program would help with serving between 45 to 60 new businesses with a growth-oriented approach. The next area is expansion on our small business technical assistance, really with a focus on tax and financial support. And again, this would be expanding a program that's already in place, and it would fund and provide one-on-one assistance to serve over 140 underserved small businesses with financial and credit counseling, tax preparation, market research, and bookkeeping to ensure clients' success. Again, many of the baseline elements that one needs in order to have a successful business, this program would help to expand that work to reach more. The next one would be our My People's Market, which the mayor has already highlighted, which was a marketplace done in partnership with Travel Portland to highlight and celebrate many of the amazing businesses that are already resonant and resilient within our city, and giving them fresh access to new markets as well as to celebrate their good work. The program funding for this would be an expansion of that market to allow us to continue to grow this as a way for them to ensure that they have traction and access into new areas within the city, nationally, and internationally. And so the hope is to continue to support over 80 businesses with each market that is being hosted, which we will plan on doing two a year. The next area is our traded sector, inclusive business growth. Again, this would be expanding our traded sector diversity and inclusion programs for one or more of our priority traded sectors. Again, the intent of this program is to help companies with not only the recruitment of a more diverse workforce, but also with the retention. So I think the goal for us is to not just have a small door in and a big door out, but actually to have a large door in and a small door out, meaning that the way in which the environments of these businesses, that their culture shifts and is more inclusive, that more of those that they recruit actually stick around and actually continue to support the growth. So that's what this program is designed to do. The next area is our Portland Film Office. And again, this has primarily been devoted towards the regulatory work around permitting for the use of public right-of-way and film production. And we are continuing to find the industry and community benefits from this, and we're looking forward to with the permit program that is better responding to the needs and the production, as well as better funds the long-term health of the local film community and keeps Portland at the forefront of arts, culture, and community.
Could I just interrupt you there and ask about that? Have you resolved with the other bureaus about the permitting issues?
Commissioner, I'll try with this one. I think we have a process, and I'd like to acknowledge CBO and their leadership on convening this, and Commissioner Fish for championing this. So I think we have an agreement that the budget would be, the film office would be fully funded with general funding in the coming year, that there would be the creation of an omnibus film permit that potentially would increase revenue, would pay for fully the film and video office in year three. So 50% of the resources would be general fund in year two, and 50% would be permit funding. We have not gone through the process of negotiating specifically with bureaus. This allows us to complete those negotiations.
So this is the same amount?
Yes.
There isn't a cut in here?
There's not a cut. It is a maintenance of the funding level as it is today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it's one time only?
One time only, yes.
I'll continue. So the next area, we've talked about small business, trade sector, is now our workforce. And in particular, this is actually a cut that we received this year, which is for our health care cluster. This package would reduce funding originally allocated to implement Prosper Portland's work in a new health care cluster. Historically, we've had four clusters, industries that we focused on, athletic and outdoor gear and apparel, green cities, products and services, technology and media, and metals and machinery. But in 2015, the agency added a fifth cluster, which was healthcare, to connect residents to employer and employers to jobs, as well as supply chain opportunities at local hospitals and medical institutions. This new cluster in its design would serve Prosper Portland's focal point in terms of strategic work with OHSU related to the Knight Cancer Institute, as well as emerging sectors such as the medical devices and health sciences. Prosper Portland does not regard health care typically as a traded cluster in the same way in which we do the other four, because it does not bring in significant dollars from outside of the greater Portland region. However, the aim would be to apply some of the approaches that we've developed with traded sectors to work with healthcare, including extending the retention and expansion of work, some of the financial assistance to underrepresented businesses, which actually is really would be great and in line with our Inclusive Business Resource Network efforts around in creating more markets, as well as connecting large employers to small one-on-one supply chain and mentoring opportunities. That being said, this particular role, as we were wanting to fill it with a hiring a full-time person, is being cut at this time. The next areas are going to look at our community and biz district development. And the first one that received it was initially a cut, but now has had add a portion of those dollars, the 33, now there's 25. That's a carryover, will be for Alberta Main Street. The next one is Venture Portland, which we made a slight change. Initially, it showed that there was a cut, but there actually is going to be a $200,000 investment to Venture Portland in terms of their work moving forward. And the last one, which we just noted here, it's going to be a one-time funding, which will be for the Portland Brownfields. And again, this will allow for program development to really help us figure out how do we fund the cleanup of those respective properties throughout the city. Okay, that's it.
So we are happy to take any questions and hear your comments. And
Commissioner Fish?
Well, first of all, a superb presentation as always. I don't know how you managed to get it all out there and carved up among the panelists, but thank you very much, and the report is very clear. Because we have the chair, the distinguished chair of the board, and because...
Don't laugh, Tyler.
Because you're going to get a recommendation on the ODOT blocks in the Central East Side, I guess I would say to the executive director, are we confident with whatever proposal the board adopts that there will be affordable creative space as part of the requirement in the development plan?
Yeah, we had a really great process, and Lisa and Kira and the team worked with a number of community stakeholders. Makerspace, affordable commercial space, affordable industrial space was really a high priority, and I think it helped make the proposal rise to the top. I want to caution that we are in early days, right? So we are responding to a proposal, and we will be able to come back. But what the board would be supporting is our negotiation with them. It's certainly our priority as well.
Okay, so we'll have plenty of time to
yes.
have this conversation.
Yeah.
And the second question I wanted to ask you is, where are you in the negotiations on Zidell Yards, and do you expect to conclude them at some time in the near future?
So thank you for the question. We have a development agreement that was adopted by City Council in 2015. As Lisa mentioned, with the new master plan, we have reopened the development agreement negotiations because they are changing the sequencing of their investments. And so infrastructure investments and the like need to be reimagined in terms of the prioritization. So we are in active negotiations. We've extended the date to amend the development agreement
agreement to the end of June, and we are working hard to get there. I think it's an optimistic date given the level of change that's occurred, but certainly by this fall we should have an amended development agreement.
Okay, thank you.
For your consideration.
Commissioner Fritz.
Or not, and then it'll either be what we have on the table or no development agreement at all. Is that correct?
Yes.
Those are the three options.
Yes, those are the three options.
Thank you. The healthcare cluster is proposed to be cut.
Yes.
Is there still funding in Gateway? I think you said that there is.
Yes.
For their portion of that healthcare piece that they're interested in and
yes.
with education.
Yes, and so I would like to just add that I think with the additional resources for the Inclusive Business Resource Network, we can achieve all of the aspirations that we had to have businesses, small businesses, access the healthcare industry in the anchor institution strategy. So I think we have a good alternative there. We have a lot of resources within both Gateway and within the North Macadam Urban Renewal Area to support anchor healthcare institutions. And we have also been... Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, so those are basically the ways that we will be meeting those objectives.
Yeah. Thank you. And then my final question, we didn't fund the study for looking at central city development rights in the budget, in the bump. Is that part of this budget?
I think we, in the spring bump, I'm sorry, yeah, in the spring bump for 17-18, I think we secured $35,000 for the FAR analysis in this year's budget.
I'm not sure. Are you sure that was in there?
Commissioner, I'm pretty sure it was an ad for the spring bump, but we'll go back and double check.
If it isn't, we'll need to talk and maybe before we vote on this, make sure that that is the allocation.
Understood. Yeah, we are actively planning to do the analysis, so we're... Hopefully we're right on that one. And then I remembered my train of thought, which was that in the interim time period, Work Systems also received a $9 million federal grant that really bolstered the level of resources available to support the healthcare cluster. And so I think we have collectively as a community put together resources to meet the original objectives.
Fabulous. Great.
I'm just going to add one thing to it because it's been an important partner and it's not somebody I mentioned. Mount Hood Community College is very interested in the Gateway Transit Center development to be an anchor for that development, and they would focus it all on their healthcare kind of workforce development component that they offer to students today. So they would grow that program and anchor that program at that location.
That's certainly something that I would support. I think that would, along with our Gateway Discovery Park, really make the area take off.
Thank you.
And while I have it fresh in my mind, I just want to remind you, we still need to have a meeting with the developers
yes.
and the East Portland Action Plan. And
yes,
so
we are
hopefully that's
actively
on the schedule
scheduling
soon.
It for June, or it's been scheduled. We worked with your
okay,
assistant.
Great.
Yeah.
I got some feedback from them the other day that we
yeah.
hadn't nailed down a date, and I'd like to do that.
Yes.
Commissioner Fish.
Two other things. We have begun to evaluate a bold new vision for the Rose Quarter. And there's a question that at some point will have to be decided about whether a new authority is created to drive that vision or whether we used existing systems. Can you give us a sense of timeline of when this may be a live issue that we weigh in on?
Sorry, we're conferring. Commissioner, we anticipate that it's in a 2 to 5 year time frame. I think that we have also been inspired by the Albina vision, want to be supportive in the way that we can. I think that there is a sense that there does need to be a new structure in order to make it happen, but I don't anticipate that would be concluded in 18-19, so probably 2 to 5 years.
Okay, thank you. And the final question is, we have a little bit of time, although we probably have some testimony, but the you've been warning us for a number of years about a so-called TIF cliff.
Yes.
And that has, in turn, driven some of your strategic planning around how to become a more sustainable agency, less mm-hmm. reliant on tax increment financing, mm-hmm. funding mm-hmm. to drive economic development and the things you want to do. if you were to give us just a quick progress report on where are we towards the kind of long-term sustainability that you're looking for? I mean, have we made progress, and what would you give us? What kind of interim report card would you give us?
Yeah, it's a great question, Commissioner. So it is a 10-year plan, and so in this first year of the plan, we are focused on ensuring that we have a truly comprehensive approach to asset management, and so that's a priority. We have new policies that are coming to our board in June. We have a new software to make sure that we are managing those assets in the optimal way, we, with this budget and with the ODOT blocks and with Broadway Corridor, I think we'll have our first projects that meet our mission-related investment criteria. So we have begun in earnest to think about it. It's still early, but we are, I think we are on track to meet our objectives.
Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Just wanted to also comment, I hadn't been in Lentz for a while, and that area is really taking off, and so I want to thank you for all of your work in partnership with the community there. I know that it hasn't been easy a lot of the time, and it's really starting to take shape and be exciting.
Thank you, Commissioner, and we would echo the appreciation to the community members who kept with us for a number of years, and we're excited to see the mix of incomes and the mix of uses, and so we're pleased at the progress. Thank you.
Carla, do we have people who have signed up to testify?
1 minute. Ask another good question.
Well, he's right there.
I'll throw out a question.
Do you want the gavel, Commissioner Fish?
I think I have the gavel.
Well, I guess, don't accuse me of playing to the audience, but what role, if any, does Prosper Portland or other economic development authorities play in helping bring buildings into seismic compliance?
Yeah, so I'll start and then Lisa can continue. In places like Old Town Chinatown, where there are a number of unreinforced masonry buildings, we have earmarked $5 million to support seismic improvements, and we have helped to make improvements in some of the investments to date. We have tools within urban renewal areas that can support improvements. We also have a tool that Shelley Hack is prepared to talk about during the URM discussion that's CPACE. So it's a financing mechanism that we received authorization at the state to include not just commercial energy improvements, but also seismic improvements. So those are great tools.
That's called CPACE?
CPACE, yeah.
Okay.
And so those are great tools when there is a mechanism for financing and repayment. I think that it's more challenging to find resources, and we will likely have to find new sources of resources for those improvements where there really is no repayment mechanism. Other than the $5 million, we haven't really earmarked resources for that.
Have economic authorities elsewhere come up with any intriguing ideas that we need to look at?
So CPACE is one that we have borrowed from other jurisdictions and is a helpful mechanism for that. In California and other places where you have insurance premiums that provide a cost savings, you have urban development authorities that have played that role. That's not our market reality, so it doesn't quite work for us, but I think we would be happy and have made sure that Shelley is at the table to be able to provide that expertise and thought partnership alongside your capable staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. So, colleagues, we had intended to continue this hearing and take public testimony tomorrow night. However, if there are people who showed up today specifically to testify on the Prosper Portland budget and you are here, we'd be happy to take your testimony now. Is there anybody here tonight who would like to testify on the Prosper Portland budget? I don't see anyone. Therefore, the meeting of the Prosper Portland Budget Committee is continued to Thursday, May 10th at 6 p.m. right here at Council Chambers in Portland City Hall, where we'll hear public testimony on the budget.
Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues.